Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here. Thanks for joining us. Walker Wildman is keeping our... He's our social media-ite.
Is that a new term?
Yeah, I just made it up. I think it works, though. Social media-ite. An ite being a person that follows something. And social media. Yeah, social media. Media light. Well, you know, you're a light to the
world.
How
about guru? We'll just say guru.
Well, that sounds fancy.
I think guru works better. It's going to be simpler on everybody.
I mean, if you want to be a social media-ite, Walker, it's up to you.
Right.
You can pick your title here.
Well, I just want our listeners to know.
Is that a tribe in the Bible?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. But
well, there's some ites in there, right?
There's some ites.
Walker, what do you want to be now? What do you aspire
to
be?
Well, I just want people to know that I do more than twiddle around on Facebook for 8 hours a day. I did get my 4-year degree from a university.
Right. You really do. You are one of the busiest persons around here. I will vouch for that.
Give Walker his due. He does work hard every day, all day.
Oddly enough, on this show, you continue to downgrade him.
Right. I'm just challenging him.
Yes, that's
right.
He's wanting me to do better.
I don't want him to rest on his laurels.
what you pointed me to is...
What's a laurel? Abe, do you know what a laurel is?
I don't know exactly what a laurel is.
Have you ever rested on yours?
No, I have not.
It's a city.
Well, since you don't know what they are, maybe you have. We don't.
A laurel's a city in South Mississippi.
Right? Not everybody lives there, so they don't rest on in there. Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com obviously went to school and studied laurels.
Yeah.
And Steve, what is one?
It's the award a Greek athlete got for his crown. It's a laurel. It's a plant. And resting on them means that you don't have to compete anymore once you've got them because you've already got them.
There you go.
I knew we hired you for a reason.
I just looked it up.
Is he right?
Hey? He is right. He's right. Refers to the wreaths.
Yeah, we could have used this for Trivia Friday. We need to remember
we
that.
We still can.
Yeah, we still can.
You don't have people that listen...
From
both times?
Probably do, although we don't monitor them. Trivia Friday on American Family Radio will be 2 days from now. But, Steve, what do you got in the news, my friend?
Top of the page at onenewsnow.com. I am really kind of excited about this. I'm doing a series of stories that I'm titling Shadow Government, and it's going to take a look at the opposition to President Trump that is coming from all directions. But I have a feeling, and we're kind of making the case, that it's fairly organized. Today's edition, the first installment in this, and it's not going in necessarily a logical order. It's going in the order that I can get the stories together. But the first one, we're looking at the media today in the New York Times, a piece that I'm looking at the media organized. I don't know how connected it is to the Obama shadow in Washington, but certainly they're on the same side. And so we're looking at the media, how they're opposing Mr. Trump. In future stories, we're going to look at Organizing for Action, Mr. Obama's organization. He's staying right there in D.C., and I believe that he is pulling a lot of strings. We're going to look at the protesters, both the violent ones and the more like shout you down, stop the free speech ones. We're going to look at Congress and its ability to throw a shoe in the gears. That's, by the way, another Trivia Friday for you. What term do we get from that?
I thought it was a monkey wrench.
No, throwing a shoe in the gears, sabotage.
Mm. Is that what the French word means?
Sabot is a shoe. And what they sabotage means, I think once upon a time in the 19th century, someone decided that they were going to bring down the factories and help the workers by throwing their shoes, their wooden shoes that they used on the floor, into the machinery. Yeah, sabotage.
Huh.
Anyway, we're going to look at Congress. We're going to look at the funding from George Soros and others. And we're going to look at also take a look at the inside leaks that are coming out trying to take Trump down. So all of this to say there is a concerted effort afoot to bring down Mr. Trump. And I was talking to Sandy Rios. This is going to be in one of the pieces that I write, this quote from her. She says, "They sound big, but in a lot of ways, they're like the Wizard of Oz." Pull back the curtain. They're not quite as big, but they have a way of sounding very big and very organized. By the way, you guys talked yesterday. You played the clips from Paul Sperry. He's the guy that had that handbook for organizing. I brought the handbook with me. I found it.
Oh, wow.
And I have the whole thing here, too.
You're a part of this? You're a part of this movement?
I am.
So you left your meeting and brought your manual with you?
I have a different name at the meeting.
Sabo. Steve, Sabo begins with Sabo.
You're the definition of a double-minded man here.
A double agent man.
You're working
double
for
agent man.
Okay.
That was a duet.
I know. And that was a show from the 60s?
Oh, I think so. Okay. But it was a great song, too. Secret Agent Man.
So you had downloaded, Steve Jordahl downloaded in your for your investigative story.
I killed a tree to do it, too. It's 20-some pages.
What is this you got hold of?
It is a manual put together by former progressive staffers, former Hill staffers, congressional staffers who work for progressive or liberal congressional people, and they have put a manual out that instructs people how to influence their members of Congress to throw roadblocks in front of the Trump agenda. And
this is what we talked about yesterday, about telling people if you want to put a show of force at a town hall,
right.
That's what happened to
right.
Chaffetz in Utah, where they instruct you, go in with good numbers, go early, spread out,
right,
and then it makes it look like the optics are that you've got this groundswell
that's
of opposition.
In this document, along with some other things. What they do is they have taken a look at the success of the Tea Party. Now, this document is full of half-truths and lies, I will have to say. That they say that the Tea Party ideas were wrong and their behavior was horrible. They talk about the Tea Party being racist. They talk about the Tea Party being, you know, shouting obscenities, which I remember those Tea Party rallies covering those things. It was like a day at Disneyland with all the strollers and the moms and, you know, yes.
These are guiding country people.
They were.
They weren't profane.
They actually picked up their own trash after they were done.
So, characterization. So what they do say that there's some things that you can model resistance after. They want to start their own Tea Party, basically. They're taking some lessons.
What's wrong with this, though? Isn't this America? Even though they're secular progressives, can't they organize?
This is actually what is the most worrisome about this whole thing, because you can arrest the people that are throwing barricades at windows, and you can certainly should be going after the leakers. You can use politics in House rules and Senate rules to kind of get past a recalcitrant opposition party. But if they can manage to convince enough people that they need to go and vote a certain way. Now, if you read this, again, if you buy into this left, you might not recognize the lies that they're telling to make you go do this. But if they can organize enough grassroots to get out there and get out the vote, then Donald Trump is probably really in some political trouble, I would think. Now,
but there's nothing illegal about what they're doing. You're just saying you want people to understand what's happening. So if they're at a town hall meeting and people stand up from all over around the town hall meeting, it might not just be a spur of the moment thing. This might be planned and organized resistance.
Well, the shadow government series is going to cover both legal and some questionably ethical and illegal things. The leaking of classified information that we're getting from this White House is strictly illegal.
Right.
It's, you know, someone should be arrested for allowing classified information to get out. The violence that we're seeing from the Black Bloc protesters, which kind of are the militant arm of this, is illegal. So some of the stuff is illegal, but according to some sources that I've been talking to, about 30% of the population, 30%, subscribe to a more militant or at least a more radical leftist agenda, which means 70% of the country are moderate, conservative, willing to be persuaded, willing to use logic. I think ultimately the reason this is going to fail is because when 70% of the country take a look at 30% acting like stupid people and embarrassing themselves, then it's going to put some people off.
It'll backfire.
In my mind, it should, but I don't know. They're making themselves seem so big and so loud, and they've got such complicit helpers in the media and such that it makes it look – you look at what's going on in the Trump administration right now. You even have some conservatives saying – some conservative commenters saying it's in disarray, you know, all this stuff. But every administration – goes through successes and failures. There's some legislation that Donald Trump is not going to be able to get signed because he's maybe some Republicans split off. They're not lockstep, and they shouldn't be lockstep. Mm-hmm. But it's just part of the – it doesn't mean they're in disarray. It doesn't mean they're defeated. Certainly doesn't mean, as these guys call them, that they're racist, misogynist, authoritarian, corrupt. But this is the image that you're
their
getting.
Their candidate
around.
Tried that.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Todd Starnes told us about that earlier.
Yeah. So,
hey, listen. So you're going to have the where are you going to post the stories? You're doing a series of investigative stories on what you've just been talking about
on the shadow government, and they will be posted under a. They're going to have when I get the second one together, we'll have a landing page. The first one is there under shadow government at onenewsnow.com.
I'm actually looking forward to this. I think this is important for Christians and other conservatives to understand that this is not a resistance or a movement. I'm talking about the secular progressive left that is in disarray, or like you were talking about. This is an intentional movement. They are passionate. They are angry. And they are willing to do almost anything.
And they're organized.
And they're organized.
Because we passed it
off.
Well
funded.
We passed it off for a long time as they're throwing a fit. They just weren't happy with the election. The Democrat Party doesn't know where it's at. They're, you know what? I think it's gotten beyond that.
Mm. Right.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, my friend.
Good to be here.
OneNewsNow.com. Check it out. OneNewsNow.com. It's our news site for American Family Radio. And American Family Association, they work hard. Our team over there to provide you news and information every
almost
day.
Almost as hard as Walker.
Yes,
yes.
Right.
That's right.
Good point. OneNewsNow.com. Tim here with Ed and Abe. And we appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. We have another guest. Ed, you want to introduce?
Yeah, I want to welcome Elizabeth Poe, P-O-E, as in Edgar Allan Poe, to the program. She has an incredible story about facing the hostility on the other side, and we wanted to read an article about it from The Federalist, is where I first saw this article, passed it around. We wanted to have Elizabeth on to tell her own story. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, you are from, you live either in or around Franklin, Tennessee. But you own a yarn store, Y-A-R-N, and this story, most people are going, okay, we've had all kinds of serious news. Now we have Elizabeth Poe, who owns a yarn store. What could that possibly have to do with what's going on in our country? So why don't you tell our listeners what happened to you?
Well, this started out after the D.C. March.
The Women's March.
Yes. Yes, the Women's March in D.C., which followed the inauguration of Trump. And, you know, you see all that vulgarness. I'm kind of done with it. So the Tuesday following, a lady had come in, and she was looking for yarn, and I had been with busy. So when I finally got to her, she told me that a friend of hers had asked her to knit her a cat hat for the next Women's March. And that just sent bristles up and down my body. And so, you know, I was polite, and I told her, I said, ma'am, if I had the yarn, I would not sell it to you. I said, I cannot condone the kind of behavior. So didn't think anything of it, really. But I know that, you know, when somebody doesn't like something at your shop or your store, whatever you're doing, they're going to trash you on Facebook. So
okay, Elizabeth, let me just interrupt you for just a second, because I don't think our listeners are quite aware of what type of hat. Because now at the Women's March in Washington, D.C., there was incredible cursing on television, cursing and vulgarity. And we don't want to be too specific about these kinds of hats. that were being worn, because a lot of people are going to be saying, well, why wouldn't you give this lady yarn for a hat? But in as gentle a way and as vague a way as possible, explain what kind of hats were at this D.C. march and why you refused this woman the yarn for one of them.
Okay, well, they're using a pattern that's for a cat hat that just has the ears on it, on top of it, like a cat head. But it's what it's inferring, that, you know, slang, because they're mad at our president for what he said 12 years ago. And
right.
So it's inferring a body part, a female body part.
Ah, there you go. All right.
Okay, so, and you know, and I'm sitting here, as a, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, okay, these kids don't remember. You know, a former president in the office that actually acted on those words. So it's very frustrating for me, but it wasn't meant, in all honesty, to be a political statement. It got taken away, and that's fine. Go for it. But the bottom line is the women and men that come in here, they are very respectful people. I've got Democrats that come in here. I've got Republicans that come in here. We really don't sit here and go, well, I'm going to sit at this table. It's a liberal, whatever, like that. We respectfully disagree with one another. No one trashes one another. So I have pretty much had it. And I've learned over the years that I need to beat them to the punchline. So the second I say something, I know they're going to go on Facebook. I put my posting that just respectfully requested this. If you want to make the garments that you're, or the costumes for the Women's March, please go elsewhere. So I didn't ban anybody. And, you know, these people who were going, do you vet everybody? Well, if you've ever been in a yarn shop and you try to help somebody with yarn, they're going to pretty much tell you what they're making. So it's not like I've got to really pull it out of them. They want some help. So that was, you know, kind of, they've trashed me in more ways, but it doesn't matter. I just can't go there with these women. It's wrong. And the vulgarity of the two hate speeches, the costumes, the little girls that were so exploitive. There were young girls that were carrying signs that I can't even get my mind around that a mother would allow their children or their daughter to carry those signs anywhere at all. So I just took a stand against it.
We're talking with Elizabeth Poe, who has a yarn store in Franklin, Tennessee, and she made the outrageous decision following the Women's March in Washington, D.C., which was extremely vulgar and crude. Elizabeth made the outrageous decision that she was not going to sell ladies yarn to make a particular hat that is meant to represent a woman's body part. And so, Elizabeth, you posted that on Facebook, just said, look, I just don't want to do that. If you want yarn for that, go somewhere else. And you have actually had to deal with death threats and other expressions of hostility. Did this shock you? How much of this happened? What kind of steps did, I mean, were you afraid for your life or for your family?
No, you know, I was shocked by the march. I couldn't believe women, it was a shock factor for them to dress up that way. So that got me going. But, you know, the lady that came in was very sweet. I will say that much. She wasn't looking, you know, to be rude to me or anything. Most people who come in here aren't. Once I posted that, I'll be honest, I was very, very surprised that it had taken on a life so differently than when it was meant to be. If you knew me, you would have expected me to put up that post. That would be so expected. That's just my nature. I will not put up with smack talk and ugliness in this yarn shop. It is four walls that I can actually control what goes on in here. Can't control right. What goes out in the world, but when you come in here, you'll be respected. You'll be treated with kindness and understanding. So my customers aren't at all shocked that I did it. I think the backlash, these women, honestly, just this is my opinion. The level of hatred that they have spewed at me and the men really, to me, shows how deeply hurt they are. I don't know what's gone wrong in their life. It's gone sideways. They've been yelled at. They're hurting. And so for me to draw a line and say no, and there's a line of decency that you just cannot cross in here, then there's no reason to cross it. You can get your point across. You can communicate without tearing down another person or getting thrown in that shock factor, you know, of what they've done. And they don't like that at all. But that's not how we're going to behave in here. So they can get as mad at me as they want. But, you know, my my average person who walks in here, my normal customer, they would never dream of behaving that way anyway.
We're talking to Elizabeth Poe, P-O-E, from the Nashville area, actually from Franklin, Tennessee. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Abe Hamilton and Walker Wildman. And Elizabeth is sharing her story about what happened. where can, if people want to buy yarn from you, can they still?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no.
Yes, and you know, with all the ugliness that's come about, there were a couple phone calls, and, you know, of course, there's a lot of hatred spewed on Facebook, but that doesn't match what was called and left on Yelp and other things. Once it started, though, the people who were just as outraged as I was about not only the D.C. March, but all the hatred that's been spewed, they started calling, they started emailing, they started giving me Facebook messages. I'm still working on day one's orders. That's how busy it is. But, you know, you asked me if I were afraid. It never occurred to me to be afraid. Even though, you know, they said, oh, we're going to come down there and riot and all this. That never happened. I was not afraid. I called the police and asked them if they would kindly just run through my area about every hour or so. And, you know, that's just prevention, not letting it get out of hand, that if they did decide to come. So it's not been an issue. Plus, the second it happened, and honestly, so many Christians that called me were like, we have just been lifting you up in prayer. And so, you know, that peace beyond all understanding, I still don't understand why I haven't been afraid. People have not been kind. They said some really nasty stuff.
Yeah. Well, so, welcome to our world.
a man that works for one of our congresswomen called, and he made the same comment, welcome to my world.
Well, when you take a stand for God and righteousness and truth, you can do it as lovingly and with as much compassion and kindness and respect for the other person as possible. But sometimes, not always, but sometimes, I'll just put it in plain English, the devil lashes out.
Right.
And we see that in the Bible. It's called spiritual warfare. And I'm glad that Elizabeth honors God with her business. And Elizabeth, thanks for being on with us.
Hey, let me just say, ask one quick question, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You're very articulate. You ever think about running for office?
I have not. It's never occurred to me. You know, and I love this country. God's planted me here in Franklin in a little yarn shop.
Okay, I grew
up in a restaurant, and I'm the help. If he moves me in that direction, we'll see.
Okay.
It's not something that I'm begging for or anything, but this is, you know, I wrote this post to protect my customers, and it took on a different life. So I'm going to try to make the very best of this opportunity and try to reach some of those women who just hurt. They don't need any more slander. And how about the men? Before I go, I want to say about the men. They have no idea what their role is anymore.
Yeah.
You got women making a lot of money. They come out brash. It's like, what does the guy do? He gets yelled at for opening the door, and he gets yelled at for not opening it.
Right. Hey, Elizabeth, we are flat out of time. Look, somebody's got to sell yarn. There's nothing wrong with that. I just thought maybe you might at some point. But anyway, thank you so much for being our guest, and we'll probably follow up on this, okay?
All right, thanks.
Elizabeth Poe, P-O-E, from Franklin, T-N, Tennessee. Wow, what a lady.
Yeah, that's what I said. Man, she could rock on if she wanted to run for local office or something like that. But, who knows?
I was going to call her a bulldog, but you never know what's offensive to people today.
Yes. If our listeners need some yarn, you know where to go.
There you
Franklin,
go.
Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah. Hey, put her shop on Facebook.
Okay.
Hey, take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.